there, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host, and today is Tuesday. Yes, you might have noticed that we missed yesterday. The day got away from me, and I got a whole bunch of stuff got in my way, which is okay. You got me for two chapters today, so we're going to do episode 101.2 and 101.3, and that'll get us back on track. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those days where I just couldn't stop. And by the time I got home, it was like, I don't know, 9 o'clock last night. Crazy. Anyway, I make it sound like I'm more busy than I am. Busy. I am busy. I'm just like everybody else. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray first, and then I'll give you a Bible verse of the day. And then we'll dive into chapter 17. But first, I would like to say thank you for joining me. Welcome, as always. Glad you were able to stop what you're doing today and find us. If you're new to Leap of Faith Podcast, we are reading the Bible one chapter a day, 5 days a week. I say we because it's me and my co-anchor, Jeremiah, but he only does it on Fridays with me. So if you go back to Friday, you'll see both of us together. But today you got me. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll give you your verse. So let's pray. Holy and mighty God, we come to your throne with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. We honor you, we love you, we adore you. And we give you all of the honor, all the glory, all the praise. We are grateful that you are our Heavenly Father. You are in control of all things. And you provide for us as you see fit. And as long as it is in accordance with what your plan is, we are happy to be obedient to whatever it is that you want us to do. We want to be in your will, following your directions, and hearing your voice clearly as to what it is that you want us to be doing. We are most grateful, of course, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect blood that he shed for us on the cross, that horrible death, so that we can have our sins forgiven. He was the ultimate sacrifice, and we didn't do anything. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of what he did for us. He laid down his life for us, and we will never be able to repay that ever. We are grateful for the gift of salvation and the promise of eternity in heaven with him and with you. Lord, I ask for blessings over all of those people who are out there listening, watching, joining us in this journey. I pray blessings for their finances, their families, their relationships, their employment, whatever, you know, their physical health, whatever their needs are, Lord, I'm asking you to cover them, bless them, and watch over them. I pray that you send more that will join in and continue to listen and read along with us, getting to know you better. Because that is what it's all about, is getting to know you. And we want to continue this journey for as long as you want us to do it. Lord, I just ask you to put a covering over our families, for Jeremiah and I. Bless them, whatever they're doing, whatever they are pursuing, I pray that they put you first and foremost, and they are following what it is that you want them to do. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. And I pray you bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we are, our Bible verse comes from Proverbs, because we're still working on Proverbs. And this is Proverbs 24, because today is October 24th. 2023. I don't know when you found us. I don't know if you're watching today or if you are a year from now or 10 years from now. I don't know what technology will be like in 10 years. I have no idea. We might not even be here. Who knows? I mean, the way things are going, you know what? Jesus can return and we'll all be raptured up and that'll be the end of it. So today is Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. I need my readers real quick. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through a good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. I think this is good advice. A house, a home, is built on wisdom. And that is true. You're going to get stronger and stronger as you rely on God's wisdom to you know, guide and direct you when you're raising your kids or in your marriage or over your finances. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. I don't think that, I don't know, when I see precious riches, I just think that it's, you know, precious people is what's in there. And that's what our houses are filled with. But, you know, if you're doing what God tells you to do, maybe it is real riches and valuables. You know, he will bless you. You know, when you're in his will, you're going to be in his, you know, in his favor. That's what I got out of that. All right, so let's go ahead and start reading. Today is chapter 17, and this is episode 101.2. Let's start. Micah's idols. There was a man named Micah who lived in the hill country of Ephraim. One day he said to his mother, I heard you place a curse on the person who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from you. Well, I have the money. I was the one who took it. The Lord bless you for admitting it, his mother replied. He returned the money to her, and she said, I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord. In honor of my son, I will have an image carved and an idol cast. So when he returned the money to his mother, she took 200 silver coins and gave them to a silversmith who made them into an image and an idol. And these were placed in Micah's house. Micah set up a shrine for the idol, and he made a sacred ephod and some household idols. Then he installed one of his sons as his personal priest. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. One day, a young Levite who had been living in Bethlehem in Judah arrived in that area. He had left Bethlehem in search of another place to live, and as he traveled, he came to the hill country of Ephraim. He happened to stop at Micah's house as he was traveling through. Where are you from? Micah asked him. He replied, I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am looking for a place to live. Stay here with me, Micah said, and you can be a father and priest to me. I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, plus a change of clothes and your food. The Levite agreed to this, and the young man became like one of Micah's sons. Huh. Okay. So Micah installed the Levite as his personal priest, and he lived in Micah's house. I know the Lord will bless me now, Micah said, because I have a Levite priest, a Levite serving as my priest. All right. Let me just say this. I don't know the whole story behind this. Maybe there's more that we don't know about. I find it interesting that Micah goes to his mother and admits that he stole 1,100 pieces of silver. And she turns around and says, the Lord bless you for admitting it, which is good. You know, you tell him, good job. He returns the money to her, but I think it's kind of odd that she turns around and she says, I'm going to dedicate these silver coins. Well, she dedicates the silver to the Lord. And then in honor of my son, I will have an image carved and an idol cast. I don't get that. So, When he returned the money to his mother, she took 200 silver coins and gave them to a silversmith, and he makes the idol. And that's just weird to me. I don't understand all that, so I'm just being, you know, transparent here. Then you go into 6. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So I guess maybe that's the point. She's doing whatever she thinks is right, not exactly what God's telling her to do. Then this Levite shows up, and he just happened, quote unquote, to stop at Micah's house as he was traveling through. I don't think there's just a coincidence here. God sent him there for a reason. Then I thought this was kind of odd. He says, stay here with me, Micah says to the priest, and you can be a father and a priest to me. I'm just assuming that that just means a priest. I don't think he means like a father. Because then he says, the Levite agreed to this, and the young man became like one of Micah's sons. So how can you be a father and a son? All right, let's go into 18. This is episode 101.3. Idolatry in the tribe of Dan. Now, in those days, Israel had no king, and the tribe of Dan was trying to find a place where they could settle, for they had yet moved into the land assigned to them when the land was divided among the tribes, which if you went back into Joshua, you would remember that they had a hard time driving out the people that were on their land. So the men of Dan chose from their clans 5 capable warriors from the towns of Zora and Eshtol to scout out a land for them to settle in. Why they're not settling in the land that God gave them, I don't know. So again, a lot of question marks here for me. When these warriors arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, they came to Micah's house and spent the night there. While at Micah's house, they recognized the young Levite's accent. So they went over and asked him, who brought you here and what are you doing in this place? Why are you here? He told them about his agreement with Micah and that he had been hired as Micah's personal priest. Then they said, ask God whether or not our journey will be successful. Go in peace, the priest replied, for the Lord is watching over your journey. So the 5 men went on to the town of Laish, where they noticed the people living carefree lives like the Sidonians. They were peaceful and secure. The people were also wealthy because their land was very fertile. And they lived a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. When the men returned to Zora and Eshtol, their relatives asked them, what did you find? The men replied, come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land and it is very good. What are you waiting for? Don't hesitate to go and take possession of it. When you get there, you will find the people living carefree lives. God has given us a spacious and fertile land lacking in nothing. So 600 men from the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zora and Eshtol. They camped at a place west of Kiriath Jearim in Judah, which is called Mahana Dan to this day. Then they went on from there into the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. The 5 men who had scouted out the land around Laish, explained to the others, these buildings contain a sacred ephod, as well as some household idols, a carved image, and a cast idol. What do you think you should do? Then the 5 men turned off the road and went over to Micah's house where the young Levite lived and greeted him kindly. As the 600 armed warriors from the tribe of Dan stood at the entrance of the gate, the 5 scouts entered the shrine and removed the carved image, the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the cast idol. Meanwhile, the priest was standing at the gate with the 600 armed warriors. When the priest saw the men carrying all the sacred objects out of Micah's shrine, he said, what are you doing? Be quiet and come with us. Be a father and priest to all of us. Isn't it better to be a priest for an entire tribe and clan of Israel than for the household of just one man? The young priest was quite happy to go with them, so he took along the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the carved image. They turned and started on their way again, placing their children, livestock, and possessions in front of them. When the people from the tribe of Dan were quite a distance from Micah's house, the people who lived near Micah came chasing after them. They were shouting as they caught up with them. The men of Dan turned around and said to Micah, "What's the matter? Why have you called these men together and chased after us like this?" "What do you mean, what's the matter?" Micah replied. "You've taken away all the gods I have made and my priest, and I have nothing left." The men of Dan said, "Watch what you say. There are some short-tempered men around here who might get angry and kill you and your family." So the men of Dan continued on their way. When Micah saw that there were too many of them for him to attack, he turned around and went home. Then with Micah's idols and his priests, the men of Dan came to the town of Laish, whose people were peaceful and secure. They attacked with swords and burned the town to the ground. There was no one to rescue the people, for they lived a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. This happened in the valley near Beth Rehob. Then the people of the tribe of Dan rebuilt the town and lived there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor Israel's son, but it had originally been called Laish. Then they set up the carved image, and they appointed Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses, as their priest. The family continued as priests for the tribe of Dan until the exile. So Micah's carved image was worshipped by the tribe of Dan as long as the tabernacle of God remained in Shiloh. All right, well, very interesting stuff here. The tribe of Dan, they're trying to find a place to live where they can settle down because they hadn't moved into the land assigned to them yet. Like I said, I don't know why. It's like God gave them their land. Why aren't they moved in there? So they choose 5 capable warriors to scout out a land for them to settle in. When these warriors arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, they come to Micah's house. And they find the Levite priest there. And they ask him, you know, who brought you here? What are you doing here? And he says he made an agreement with Micah to be his personal priest. Then they said, you know, they asked to see if they're going to be successful. And he says, go in peace, for the Lord is watching over your journey. So again, you know, they're wanting to be in God's, I guess they're wanting to be in God's will, but yet they're practicing idolatry. So they're sort of being, you know, not committed to God. They're sort of on 2 sides of the fence. So the 5 men went out of the town. They noticed there were people living carefree lives like Sidonians. They were peaceful and secure. Okay, if they're peaceful and secure, why are they going to attack them? You know, they're just living their life. Because they were also wealthy and they had good land because it was fertile. I guess maybe that's it. So the 5 men returned to Zora and Eshtol, and the relatives asked, what did you find? And he said, come on, we got to go. Don't wait. You know, there's land where these people are living, you know, high on the hog. When you get there, you will find these people living carefree. God has given us a spacious and fertile land, lacking in nothing. So, you know, because the Levi priest said, go ahead and go do it, I guess that's what they're doing. So 600 men from the tribe of Dan take up weapons, and they went on from there into the hill country of Ephraim, and they find Micah's house again. And then the 5 men who had scouted out the land, they explain these, you know, there's idols in here and carved images, and so they go in, they find the Levite priest, and they remove all the stuff out of there. And the priest says, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "Shh, be quiet. You know, be a father and a priest to all of us. Isn't it better to be a priest for an entire tribe than just for one man?" So he's like, "Sure, I'll be happy to do that for you." They turned on their way and started on their way again, putting the children and the livestock and possessions in front. So the soldiers are in the back and the families are in the front, which was smart because they're protecting them. I guess that's what I'm thinking. That just seems like common sense. Then, of course, the people from the tribe of Dan were quite a distance from Micah's house, and the people that live near Micah come chasing after them, shouting, you know, and then the men of Dan turn around and is like, what's the matter? Why are you chasing after us? And they're like, what do you mean? You've taken everything. They're pointing a finger at them. And of course, the men of Dan say, hey, watch out what you're saying. Be careful, because we might get angry and kill you and your family. So the men of Dan continue going, and Micah saw that there were too many to attack. And then, of course, they come upon the town of Laish, where the people are peaceful and quiet. And, they attack them, and then they burn it down, and then the people of the tribe of Dan rebuild it, and they name it the town of Dan. And then they turn around, they set up the carved image, and then instead of appointing the Levite priest as their guy, they appoint Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses, as their priest. So I don't know, that might be a little disappointing to that Levite. Oh, so it's going to come down at maybe 19. It says the Levite and his concubine. So maybe that something has to do with it. So tomorrow is going to be an interesting story. I have a funny feeling. They are worshiping Micah's carved image because the tabernacle of God is still at Shiloh. I'm not going to pretend here. This is an interesting piece of history, and I hope it all ties in together as we read on. But for right now, I'm a little bit confused. So if you're confused, don't feel bad. But again, we're getting to know God. Now, God's kind of quiet in this, right? He's not really saying much of anything, except, you know, through that Levite, he says, you know, you're going to be to go in peace. The Lord is watching over your journey. So hopefully that Levite priest knows what he's talking about. All right, that's it for today. But as always, it's at the point where I will never leave you high and dry. I always give you the opportunity, if you feel like God is calling you and he wants you to become a follower of Christ, which I know he does, because if you found this website, there's a reason. And there's no accidents in my book. You know, it's like reading today where it says he just happened to, show up on Micah's door. So there is no happen. There's a reason. God always has a reason. So if you did find us, maybe this is the purpose, because God is calling you to say the prayer. So I'm going to lead you in the prayer of salvation. It's not me, it's not my prayer that's going to get you saved. It's the blood of Jesus that gets you saved. That's the bottom line. So just confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me of my sins. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It is his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior, into my heart, and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into this wonderful family of Christ you are adopted in. And we say go celebrate. Today is a day of celebration. I mean, you know, it's exciting news. Tell the person who's been praying for you, because there's got to be somebody out there praying for you. Mark it in your Bible. This is the Bible that we've been using since the beginning, the New Living Translation. You can get it at anywhere where you buy books. anyway, mark it on your calendar, in your phone, whatever. But make sure you remember this day, because this is the day you got to know Christ and accepted Him. We always recommend that you get to a church, get to a pastor, somebody who can help you answer the questions that you might be wondering. Maybe there's some questions that you need answered. So get involved. Find a ministry. Find some volunteer work. Go on a mission trip. Whatever you feel like God is calling you, pray about it. You know, the more you read about, the more you read your Bible, the more you get to know God, the clearer you can hear Him. So get to working for Jesus. That's all I can say about that. So that's it for today. I don't know what time of day it is, morning, noon, night. I have no idea. I don't know what year it is for you. It could be, who knows? I hope that this is around for that long. And I'm just glad that you're able to find us. So God bless you. Have a great day. And tomorrow I will see you.